Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Whether you're joining us here in this space or wherever you may be viewing us online, we want you to know that we are pleased that you are with us and that in this moment, God is with you. My name is Robert Adams, and I'm the minister here at St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall. This morning is Presbyterian World Service and Development Sunday, so we will be looking, our first service will focus on the work of the development and disaster relief arm of our denomination and the good works that they do on our behalf around the world. For those, especially those who are joining us online, probably more so than for you who are here, we're testing new software this morning. And so we welcome feedback because there are different ways of viewing, and if you aren't used to kind of all of the ways of viewing, it gets a little disconcerting. I, for one, when I'm sitting in the pew on the Sundays when I'm on vacation and not preaching, I sit there and I stare at the screens going, why isn't it changing yet? Because I'm anticipating things that I would see if I was sitting at home or the things that we from the front see on our screen, which is different from all of yours. So all of the views are different, but we really welcome any feedback over the next couple of weeks as we're testing software to see if this is a good package for us to continue with. So if you're struggling a little to see things, if things aren't quite as clear, bear with us, because part of that is the learning curve of new software. But if there's a particular thing that seems to not quite be working this morning, tuck that into the comments, our live stream folks, that we can address any concerns that you might have. Couple of brief date-related announcements. Ladies of the Church, this Wednesday at 10 a.m. is the Ladies of the Church annual meeting, so please plan to be here for that. I'm going to start praying now that it's not this cold on Wednesday morning just for you. For folks' reference, the annual meeting is to be held on Sunday, February 23rd, following the worship service. Annual reports, if you've got them, they're due any time now. So don't make Vina call you this week and say, "Where's your report?" We will save that job for her to call me and me alone. Trish.
Good morning. I'm just doing an announcement about our chili supper that's coming up this Saturday, February 8th, Saturday. I made a mistake, on the tickets, and it said Sunday. Don't know how that happened, but a few of the tickets got out before we made the correction. So if you happen to have a ticket that says Sunday, scratch it out or memory bank it. It's Saturday, February 8th. So it's a chili supper and Celtic concert. So if you want to wear tartan or plaid, if you have it, please do. There will be an area set up for dancing if the mood arises and you feel the spirit in you. Hit the floor. We do, as always, need some help. And St. John's, as usual, always rises to the occasion. So we'll probably be reaching out to people for assistance, and any that you can give is appreciated. And we've sold quite a few tickets. There are still some tickets available, and we'll be at the back of the church at the end of service. But we'd like to get a pretty clear idea of who's coming by Tuesday. So if you think you're going to come, just let us know, and we'll put some aside for you. So we thank you again for considering this, and just for information about, it's Faith and Nurture Committee that initiated this. The idea, of course, and the goal is to bring people together over food and hopefully have some fun, fellowship. There are some funds that will be raised, we believe, and the funds will be for intergenerational and youth activities, as well as any other activities that we think the church is in need of. So it's the whole church is involved in this fundraising event. So thanks again for your consideration and listening.
Thank you, Trish. And as we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. Our call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, as is our custom, and I would invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. God, our Lord, we gather in this place to celebrate your faithfulness to your people from generation to generation. You alone are God, and therefore we place our trust in you. We pray for faith to believe that you do rule with justice and truth and are able to work your good out in this world's evil. We pray for faith to be calm and courageous in the face of the darkness that surrounds us. We pray for faith to remain generous with those by our side and to entrust into your care the many at a distance. We pray for faith to receive the power of your love to melt our hardened hearts and swallow up our sin. We pray for faith to consider anew the purpose and ends of our days, and to commit ourselves anew to the way of your Son, Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us begin our worship and praise this morning as we sing hymn 290, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn 290.
Thank you.
God gathers the insiders and the outsiders. Not one is beyond need of restoration. Trusting, therefore, in this promise, we surrender ourselves in the presence of Christ and one another as we pray together the prayer of confession as it appears on the screens. God of complexity and simplicity, you called order out of chaos and set the whole universe spinning in space. You have surrounded us with good things, and yet we are blind to your generosity and turn our eyes from those who are less fortunate and those who yearn for justice. Forgive us, most merciful God. Kindle within us a longing for your kingdom, where all shall be equal and no joy without end. Amen. Friends, Jesus Christ satisfies each of our shortcomings. It is in God that we are given the full vision of love, peace, and justice. The good news is for us. God claims us, Christ welcomes us, and the Spirit draws up our seat at the welcome table. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and restored. Thanks be to God. Amen. And throughout the month of January, we've been singing the hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, and we continue to learn this new hymn this morning. Come on up, Preston. Come on up, Janiyah. I think you're the only ones here this morning. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Excellent. I'm pleased to hear that. A glass of water. That's right. Have you used water this morning?
I used water to rinse my toothbrush.
To rinse your toothbrush. Have you had a drink of water yet?
I did.
Not yet? But you will during the day, right?
I did last night.
And you did last night? Maybe washed your face? Yeah, yeah. All those things that we use water for. Mm-hmm. Rinse your mouth. Okay. If it's frozen, it turns to ice, and we use it to keep our drinks cold, right? All kinds of things. This morning, we're talking about water here in the sanctuary. You guys are doing different stuff downstairs. But up here this morning is water morning because, actually, Alex, can you give me one of our blank slides? Because this morning, we're thinking of people who have to work a lot harder for water than we do. When we want water, what do? Ask our parents for it. Or go to, and they just go to the tap, right? And they turn it on and water comes out. Or in the fridge or wherever you keep your water in your house. I know that too. Yeah. I don't have a fancy fridge like that, but so I have to get my ice cube out of the fridge all by myself if I want ice, and I have to get my water from the tap, but that's okay. But there are some people in our world, of course, who have to work much harder for water. People who live in refugee camps or in places where water does not come plentifully, they have to go, and sometimes they walk great distances to be able to get water.
Also, I have a book about, it's called The Children of Africville.
Yeah.
There's this well, and you have to boil the water before drinking.
And there are places, and I want to say Africville is here in Canada, right? In Nova Scotia, that's right. So Africville is the black community of Nova Scotia, but historically in Africville, in some of our First Nations communities still that are far away and kind of not easily accessible to kind of the technologies to purify water, we have problems with that. So we still have to boil water or just not drink it at all. So yes, there are all kinds of challenges that we have. And one of the things that we do as a church is we help others who don't have water to have water, whether that means people who are recovering from a huge disaster, right, like a flood or a big storm that has caused them to have to leave their homes, and so we bring them bottled water so that they can carry on for a while, or whether that means in places in Africa where water is not plentiful, and we help them to, we support them in their efforts to dig wells so that they can reach water that way. So all of those things we do, and it's part of our Christian sharing. And one of the things we talked about, how all the ways we use water. Think about all of the story. It's not in the story you're going to tell today, but maybe you can take a minute and think of all of the places in the Bible where they talk about water. And what water is used for in the Bible. Maybe that's something. If you've got a little bit of time this morning, that can tie it in. And then your dad can tell you all about what I said upstairs when you get home at lunchtime, okay? Go be a test this morning, Patrick. So we celebrate water this morning in worship. And yes, and Trish is our scripture reader this morning, so we'll just have you guys stay here until she's done with the reading of scripture. But before we do that, we've been singing our prayer for illumination for the last few weeks. We've been singing prayerfully over my head, and so we will do that now. Let us pray.
First reading is from Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 to 5 and chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The next reading is responsive, Psalm 71, verses 1 to 6. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Your righteousness deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And the next reading is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5a and 10 to 14. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Once more, before God in praise, as we sing hymn 784, "Thy Kingdom Come on Bended Knee." Our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Luke. Reading Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. And if your memory is good enough, you will remember that we read the first half of this section of scripture last week. This continues on from Jesus' sermon in the temple last week. Let us listen for God's word in Matthew chapter 4. Beginning at the 21st verse. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you have been doing in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his words to us. Providence has let me off the hook this morning. I don't have to preach that, because it's Presbyterian World Service and Development Sunday, as we noted earlier. And so we're going to focus instead on the text from Revelation and some of those texts this morning. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For people of faith, there is probably no greater image in all of Scripture than the set of images that we find at the end of the book of Revelation, the images of the city of God. In the two last chapters, chapter 21, which part of which Trish read this morning, and then chapter 22, which follows, the author of Revelation is given this vision of the new Jerusalem, the city come down from the clouds, the great capital of God's eternal kingdom. It is variously described as this city of glittering jewels that we hear this morning, whose streets echo with the praise of the faithful. But it's also seen as something else, something more. It is also seen as the reconstituted Garden of Eden, complete with the river of life along whose banks grow the trees of life. In this vision, the end of Scripture connects itself to the beginning. Everything that we know about God and God's great love for all of creation is bookended by these two visions of the garden, both of which contain the tree of life and the river that feeds it. What lies between the bookends is the great chronicle of the story of God's love and God's mercy for us, as God seeks to redeem all of creation, first through a people, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then through a person particular, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Perhaps even for us here in Cornwall, the story of the river of life is one that resonates with us. For we too have a river. And if you speak to people who are of a certain age, and they still remember when men from Cornwall went off to work on the ship, some rising to the level of captain of the ship. And maybe also, as people on a river at the headway of the seaway, more or less, we have some understanding of both calm and choppy waters. Choppy waters, the rapids of the St. Lawrence being what required the Seaway to be built at all. Meditating on these texts for this morning, I began to wonder, exactly where does the river of life come from? It is the river of life that John sees. It is the river of life that John sees, the same stream that the psalmist sees and sits by and drinks cooling waters in Psalm 23. So many questions. Water appears time and again throughout the testimony of Scripture, including in the very first verse of our story of creation. In the beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the water. The story of creation is the story of God imposing order over primordial chaos, calling dry land from the midst of the roiling sea, causing vegetation and trees to spring forth from the ground, forming life to abound on earth, sea, and sky. And while it's not something that we think about often, or I'm not sure I had thought about it until I started thinking about it this week, surely the river that runs through the garden is nothing less than that great primordial sea, that water at the very beginning, but now confined within its banks, giving life to all that God has created. That God would take that which is chaotic and which has the potential to take life and uses it and harnesses it to give life. There is a river. As we take a few moments this morning to consider the good works that are done around the world on our behalf by Presbyterian World Service and Development, we are reminded of the centrality of water to the story of life. And not just in Scripture, but in our very own lives and the lives of others too. Think for a moment. Just how many times today will you touch the tap or open a valve to access water for cleaning or for cooking or for drinking? For us, water is something that we take for granted, and yet for many in the world, indeed even in our own country, as we mentioned with the young people, water is a scarce and valuable resource. Maybe, Alex, you can put our blank slide back up on the screens before us this morning. Thank you. In many places in our world, in arid countries in Africa, or in refugee camps in many places across the globe, young girls, just like the one on our slide this morning, take their containers of water and collect the most basic input of life. Into the lives of these women and young girls, PWS&D is there, providing relief in refugee camps through the provision of water where perhaps none is available, and certainly none to sustain the large numbers of people that often end up in these camps. Or assisting in the digging of wells in communities, allowing ready access to clean water, safety from all those harms that await these women as they walk to riverbanks to draw water, and opportunities for education because great portions of their days are not consumed by this basic task. Or for those who are recovering from disasters, as we mentioned, storms or tsunamis or floods, hurricanes, cyclones. PWS&D works with our partner churches around the world, providing kits to address the immediate needs of people there and helping them reconstruct homes and communities for shelter and safety. And increasingly, we advocate and educate on the dangers of climate change, which threaten to overwhelm many small, poor islands around the world and exacerbate the problem of stateless people who are wandering for a new place and a new home. These are just a sampling of the things that are happening around the world because of your generosity and support to Presbyterian World Service and Development. And how lucky we are to have it. One of the blessings of being part of a denomination like ours is that we do not have to go out and research other groups or parachurch organizations when we want to reach out to others in our world. But we have organizations like PWS&D, and they in turn network with their sister organizations and other denominations who then work together to amplify and coordinate the work that we do. And as a result, we can give to projects with confidence that the money we provide goes to those people. But we also need to remember that through our givings, I hate to say this sentence because this is where everybody gets confused. So if you get confused, throw your hand up and I'll stop for a minute and talk about it. But PWS&D depends upon that other arm of giving in the church that we have, Presbyterians sharing. Because through Presbyterian sharing, we pay the salaries for staff so that the money that is used that we give for development goes out in development purposes and not to support the administration of PWS&G. Certainly some here give each week or each month a small amount to Presbyterian World Service and Development to help support with their administrative costs. But we also know with confidence that when we give money for a well, when we give money because we have heard of a terrible disaster that has stricken the lives of people halfway around the world, that we can be there and we know that every cent goes to that need. And we make that happen. It is an amazing thing. Every time I go to General Assembly and sit down and read the reports once more, and especially the Presbyterian World Service and Development Report. You can read it online in the Acts and Proceedings of the General Assemblies of the Presbyterian Church if you wish. All of those documents are out there. But you will be amazed at the number of places around the world where we, working with partner churches from denominations in North America and Europe and partner churches in those locations, then you would be amazed by how much we accomplish as we work together to build the kingdom of God. It is stunning for a small denomination. And so as we think about all of that work today, I'm going to ask you to consider a challenge. PWS&D, we have Presbyterian World Service Development Sunday. We raise our awareness, but sometimes we never do the next sentence. This morning, I'm actually going to do the next sentence. I don't think I've ever done it before. I've been in ministry 35 years. I've never said what I'm going to say to you next. Consider giving a gift to Presbyterian World Service and Development, not for any particular project this time, but so that they can have to support them in their administrative labors that they may be prepared for what will come next. Next week, next month, next year. Consider this today. From now on till the rest of the day, you can count backwards if you want. But from here to the end of the day, think every time you touch a faucet or the lever on the side of the toilet bowl, because that's a water valve too. Every time you use water, put a loonie, or if you can afford it, a toonie, or if you can afford it, $5. Or if you can afford it, $100. Yeah, I'm not going to get a lot of takers on that one, Jennifer, but I figured I'd throw it in there just in case. Every time we do this, be mindful of the blessings that God has given us and how we can take those blessings and share them with others. The blessing of water and the blessing of the resources that we have to support other people who are far away. Because sometimes it's hard to move a glass of water around the world. But a $20 bill to buy one of those big things of water for someone for a day in a refugee camp is a very doable thing. So every time you turn on the tap or set aside a little bit, and then next week, tuck it into your envelope. If you don't have an envelope, there are the offering envelopes, the generic ones in the pews. Take one home with you. Just tuck it in and put on it Presbyterian World Service and Development, and we will make sure that it gets to PWS&D, and it will do good things. Because what we learn in Scripture is true. There is indeed a river that delights the city of God, a river that brings refreshment and rest and hope to all who are in need. And we celebrate that today. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from Living Faith, Chapter 9. Living Faith is a small confessional document of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. Chapter 9 deals with our mission in the world. And we will say together in unison, the following. As God sent Christ to us, so Christ sends us into the world. We are here to proclaim Christ in word and deed. Mission is evangelism, the author of salvation to all people in the power of the Holy Spirit to be received through faith in Christ. It asks people to repent of their sins, to trust Christ, to be baptized, and to enter a life honoring Jesus as Lord. Mission is service, a call to help people in need and to permeate all of life with the compassion of God. God is our hope and our trust from our youth. We praise God continually in our lives each day and in our coming and going, in our giving and receiving. Let us now present to the Lord our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Whatever we shall face this coming week, O God, we begin now in gratitude for all the life and love with which you fill our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. We begin now in thanksgiving for all you offer us in your promises of bringing human history together in a way that will honor all that is good and true and beautiful. Receive these offerings for your work in this time through the ministry of this congregation, through the work of Christ's mission through Presbyterian sharing, through projects of development, relief, and refugee sponsorship through Presbyterian World Service and Development. With these offerings and with our lives, we give you praise, O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, your Son came from beyond and walked this earth for our sake, to reveal your great love and begin your great kingdom. Holy God, our Lord Jesus has returned to you, and together you have sent your Spirit upon us. You continue to fill human emptiness with your goodness. You still come to human weakness with your strength. Lord God, you lead us in the ways of life. You have gathered us now. Touch us with the healing and new hope that you have to offer. O Holy Lord, when we, your people, are anxious about the affairs of this world, remind us that you are in your world as well. Remind us that you are not indifferent, but that your covenant with humanity is intact. The tears of that Jesus shed over Jerusalem are still shed for our communities. The heart that was broken in the violence of the cross still feels every human suffering. Remembering this, how can we feel forsaken or give way to hopelessness? You are with us, and your sovereign hand is still upon human history. You continue your work among us, and your great promises shall one day be known by all the earth. We lay before you the many of our world who this day suffer in a world gone wrong, whose days are shaped by famine, poverty, and war, all whose lives are diminished by the injustice of governments or economies. Let the harvests of our world be neither hoarded nor squandered. Let the nations of our world pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Lord, you open your hands and meet each of us in our need. Let us neither neglect your good example nor thwart your good purposes. We thank you for all who, in spite of or in defiance of all, are at work for the good of this world. We thank you especially today for our community of faith across this nation, and for those around the world whom through Presbyterian Service, World Service and Development, are privileged to know as partners at work among their own people for life in places like Guatemala, Nicaragua, Malawi, India, and Afghanistan. We give you thanks for those who have fed us and cared for us, And we remember all who have shown compassion and tenderness to us. Lord, bless our loved ones, our homes, and our communities. Fill our deep longing for reconciliation and new beginnings in our relationships, in our world. Hear us as we lift up our prayers for ourselves and for others and for your kingdom yet to come as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is number 787 in the Book of Praise. The kingdom of God is justice and joy. Hymn 787, or as it will appear before you on the screen. Now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, this day and forevermore. Amen.